Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
And this week, of course, we have another episode for you all. Ahora vamos a hablar del caso de Amber Dubois and Chelsea Keene.
Antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up.
We will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles. And we know we always say this in every episode, but it's just a friendly reminder. And just for anyone new here, this is what we should say, Steph, like your little trigger warning, little heads up.
Yeah, trigger warning. And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Now let's jump in.
So today we actually have a requested case. Not too long ago, we were getting through like the request list, you know, trying to make sure we got to them all. But now we do more than just researching and editing.
Yeah, we want the podcast to grow. So we're always doing something. So it's a little busier now. but, you know, it's just the two of us doing it. So, I mean, it's, you know, it gets a little busy.
Busy bees. but we do try our very best to get through your requests and like listen and hear all the stories that you all send to us. I keep sending them. We love it.
Yeah, we do have a list and we are going to get to them.
Yeah, we promise.
We're just a little slower now. yeah, we love doing it. So, you know.
So again, like getting through the quests have slowed down a bit, but don't worry. Like Steph said, we will get to them.
Hoy vamos a hablar sobre Amber Dubois and Chelsea Keene.
Primero vamos a hablar sobre Amber Dubois, 14-year-old girl who loved to read and who loved animals. She was 5'5", and she weighed around 130 pounds. Y ella vivía en Escondido, California, con su familia, con su mamá Carrie, su padrastro Dave, y su hermanita Allison.
Her biological dad lived in Los Angeles, and they had a good father-daughter relationship. Amber tenía dos papás porque Dave siempre la vio como su hija. Él la conoció desde chiquita, entonces él siempre le tuvo un cariño muy grande.
Oh, she's like the daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to Escondido High School, and she didn't care about being popular. She usually kept to herself. She had her group of friends. Y como habíamos dicho, a ella le encantaban los animales. Entonces, cuando su escuela anunció un programa relacionado con animales, ella estaba bien emocionada.
She signed up without a doubt. This program was perfect for her. In the program, she was going to get the opportunity to raise a baby lamb.
That was so cute, like a baby one. And so on February 13th of 2009, she was going to finally get her lamb. Esa mañana su mamá Carrie se fue a trabajar. So su padrastro Dave era la persona que le iba a dar el cheque para poder agarrar the baby lamb.
Dicen que esa mañana Amber estaba bien emocionada y entonces le pedía el cheque a su padrastro Dave, like, seguido. Mm-hmm. She, like, needed to have it in her hands to make it more official.
And I feel like we all have that feeling, like, when you're super excited about something, like, you can't stop talking about it, mm-hmm. you know? And so she finally got the check, and then Dave left to work as per usual.
Amber then took off with the check to school, and that's when she was last seen. She went missing on her way to school.
Dave was the one that noticed that Amber was not home. Esto se le hizo raro porque ya era hora de que Amber regresara.
Él fue a la escuela para buscarla. Se encontró con la maestra de Amber y le preguntó si la había visto. The teacher said that Amber never showed up to school.
Immediately, this rang alarm bells for Dave because Amber had perfect attendance. That was something that she was proud of. And it, you know, it was like a goal of hers that she always wanted to have. And so Amber wasn't the kind to skip school or anything like that. Especially on the day such as this one that she was going to go purchase her baby lamb.
Mm-hmm. Dave le llamó a Carrie, and Carrie had, you know, that gut feeling. She automatically thought someone had her.
Como dijo mi mamá, uno de madre siempre sabe. Mm-hmm. And so they start searching. Her biological dad leaves his job and goes to San Diego to help look. Her little sister Allison was looking too. And so many volunteers came together and they were helping. And even the police was helping too.
but nothing was coming up. No tips. No había ninguna pista. No security videos to help the case. There was one sighting of her in front of the school, but that didn't really help the case move forward.
It was just kind of stuck there, you know? And so in a split second, everything changed for her family.
And of course, the investigators did look into the family because it is known that a family member or someone close to the person might have done something.
Yeah. And so there was suspicion on Dave, the stepfather, but he had the attitude of, you know, kind of like, okay, look at me and then be done and then go look for the real person responsible for this, which we love, you know?
Yeah, like his story was a little complicated porque todos pensaron que Dave fue a trabajar ese día, pero en realidad él no fue a trabajar y fue al gimnasio y a ver una película. Después de eso, él se fue a la casa a hacer sus taxis.
Y los investigadores lo entrevistaron, también tomaron fotos de su cuerpo para asegurarse que no tenía marcas, you know, like any bruises, scratches, that she was maybe fighting back.
Yeah, and he also took 8 polygraphs and nothing. Like, he was just doing everything that they were asking him to do. And he was just like, yes, like, just hurry up and do it.
Yeah.
So we can focus on, like, the real person.
Y es como decimos, el que no esconde nada, like, no teme nada. You know, so he was like, of course, he had nothing to hide. So he was confident that he was going to pass with flying colors. And so then 6 months later, they bring search dogs into the pictures. And so the dogs first lead them to the school. And then from the school, they lead them to the Pala Indian Reservation.
And that was pretty much it. Like, the case grew cold and there were no leads. And honestly, just time and time was passing.
Yeah. It must be super frustrating, like, day in, day out, and your daughter's not home and you just, like, what can you really do?
I mean, it broke a whole family.
Yeah. Y ahora vamos a hablar sobre Chelsea King, una muchacha de 17 años. Ella era estudiante de honores and she ran cross country.
On February 25th, 2010, a little bit over a year, I think, since Amber's disappearance, well, Chelsea went on an afternoon run at Rancho Bernardo Community Park near Lake Hodges, which happened to be only 10 miles from where Amber went missing.
Just kind of like relatively close, still like in the same area. Y lo mismo, ella no regresaba a su casa y sus papás se estaban preocupando. Chelsea no estaba contestando y los papás llamaron a sus amigos, pero nadie sabía nada de ella.
Then they checked to find my iPhone and that's when they saw that she was at Rancho Bernardo Community Park. And then that's when the father heads over.
And when he gets there, he finds her car parked and he gets closer, peeks in. He sees that her phone is right inside. So he runs into the trail screaming for his daughter. And I don't know, I feel like personally me, if I saw that like they left their phone in the car, I would just be so alarmed. Like, how do you find someone without their phone?
Yeah, and then like at a trail too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like they maybe thought like she could have been injured.
Yeah.
Fell.
Lost the way.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a scary situation.
Yeah.
And so at this time, they also call the police because they know something is wrong. Either she's injured or she's missing. Like, you know, they called for help. And so he runs and screams and he's not getting any answers back.
Now the police are informed and again, lots of volunteers came together. And Amber's mom, Carrie, hears that there is another girl missing and she immediately feels her pain. I feel like she was also probably still grieving her daughter, you know? And she later joins the Keen family as they look for their daughter, Chelsea.
And we do want to say that Amber's case didn't really get too much media attention in the beginning. And Chelsea's case, like from the very beginning,
blew up.
Yeah, blew up. And I mean, that's what we kind of want to do here. We want to like show that sometimes authorities treat cases differently. So we just wanted to point that out. And so during the search, they eventually come across underwear, socks, and her shoes. And they send it into the lab and they found DNA on the underwear.
And the DNA was a match to John Albert Garner III. And the record that they had on this person goes back to 10 years. And he was basically on parole and he had like over 100 parole violations. Previously, he was in prison for 6 years for beating and sexually assaulting a girl that happened to be his neighbor at the time. But he got out in 5 years on good behavior.
And see, this is like my problem. I don't understand how people with like this kind of crime, I understand people can change. Okay, I understand that. But I just don't understand how someone who, I don't know, maybe this is like too controversial to say, but someone who sells weed can literally be in prison for like 10 years just for having like 1 gram over of what you're supposed to have. But yet someone who sexually assaulted a girl,
yeah,
is able to get out in 5 years.
It's so frustrating.
Like, make that make sense? I don't understand. And so anyways, sorry, y'all. Just a little,
yeah,
a little rant of mine. But because they know who he is and, you know, now they have his picture, they were able to connect him with another encounter. And that encounter was with Candace McCoya, who was running at the same trail as Chelsea. And she was there 2 months earlier when she got attacked. Y ella en ese momento pensó que él la iba a violar. Ella le dijo, vas a tener que matarme. She's not going down.
Yeah, pretty much she's saying she's going to fight until the end. Mm-hmm. And the scariest part is que él le contestó, and I quote, that can be arranged. And that's so scary.
Yeah.
Traumatizing. Traumatizing.
Or just like how like simple, like, okay, yeah, I'll do that too. Mm-hmm. Like just the extremes people will go to.
Mm-hmm. But she knew kickboxing and managed to fight him off. And I think she punched him on the nose and she managed to run away. She reported it and then she was able to identify him after they showed her a picture of John Gardner.
And of course, you know, when the police come to him and like they're asking him questions, he denies everything. But ultimately, he still got arrested.
Lo entrevistaron y él negó todo. Incluso dice que las autoridades lo iban a querer conectar al caso de Amber.
But in that moment, we don't think the investigators were thinking that.
Yeah, they were not like thinking of that. They were only really like asking him about Chelsea. And he was the one that kind of like
brought Amber into the picture.
And he was just so offended about being arrested.
The audacity, I'm telling you. And then, you know, fast forward, 48 hours later, they found the body in a shallow grave near the lake, and it was confirmed to be Chelsea's.
And he was charged for murder of Chelsea Kane and the attack on Candace.
And there was speculation. Carrie didn't believe that he could be connected to Amber's disappearance.
But later on, John Gardner agreed to tell investigators where he buried Amber, but he would only confess if they took the death penalty off the table for the murder of Chelsea Kane.
Yeah, because the death penalty was definitely a possibility for the murder of Chelsea Kane. And I guess this was kind of like his way to like, you know, make a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, this was a big choice to make. The state had to decide what to do. And they also had to talk to the Kane family because essentially this affects the sentence of the murderer of their daughter. So like, if they accept this, he won't get the maximum sentence.
But the Keene family gives the blessing. And so, you know, the state decides to make the deal. Ellos querían saber dónde estaba Amber y si sí era cierto.
And John Gardner takes them to the Pala Indian Reservation, just a mile from where the dogs had previously took the investigators to.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy how they weren't able to, like, find her the first time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after 13 months of her disappearance, the remains were confirmed to be Amber's.
And he pleads guilty for the murder of Chelsea Kane, the murder of Amber Dubois, and the attack of Chelsea Moncoya.
But Carrie, which is Amber's mom, wanted more. She wanted to know more. Carrie got to talk to him after making her way into it.
So when she talks to him, which I think is so brave of her to do, to face the person that murdered your own daughter, I think that takes a lot of guts, and
Even just like to want to get to know more, you know, like that's a lot.
That's a lot. So she goes in there and she knows how to act because like they told her how she should act, like just ask questions, don't get emotional. So she was told to do that.
Yeah.
If she really wanted to get answers. And so that's what she did. She asked him
to walk her through his day that day, like what happened. And so he started off by saying he was driving around 7 a.m. and he spotted her walking alone. He pulled over and told her he had a knife. He also said he had a gun and asked her to get inside the car. She responded by saying, "Are you kidding?" And he was, "No, get the in the car."
That must have been really, really scary. Like, her response, like, "Are you kidding me?" But at the same time, it's kind of like, in the moment, you're kind of just like, "Oh my goodness, like, esto de verdad está pasando en mi vida," you know? And so, you know, she gets in the car and he drove to the remote area. And he says that she asked him to play music. And it was a 40-minute ride. And he also says that she begged to be left and he didn't let her, you know. And so they ended up at the Palo Reservation. That is when the assault happened and then he stabbed her.
Carrie says that this interview brought her closure. Y ella también dice que ella pudo perdonar a John Gardner por asesinar a su hija.
Yeah. And that's tough. Like, that's, I can definitely see like where she's coming from in like closure, because I feel like quizás yo también quisiera saber qué fue lo que pasó, qué fue lo que mi hija, you know, went through. And then the whole idea of forgiving and letting go, like, wow, like that's, it's amazing in a way, because it's kind of like she found what she needed out of this horrible incident, you know?
Yeah, es algo that you really need to have strength to do. Porque dice que ella quiere vivir su vida en paz, you know? Vivir y no estar enojada.
Yeah.
And I really get that, but I do think it's such a tough thing to do, to forgive.
Yeah.
I understand, like, knowing, but, like, forgiving.
Maybe by, like, forgiving, she means kind of just at peace with it, you know?
Like, accepting.
Accepting, yeah, there you go.
I don't know, it's so hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, props to her.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
That is amazing that she was able to do that.
And also, like, she did that because she felt like she needed that, you know, which is also good.
And so Candace Montoya was a one survivor, and she was able to talk at the trial and, like, you know, pretty much face the attacker.
Yeah.
And at the end, how's your nose doing? Because she did get to punch him, right?
Yeah.
And there's a video of him reacting to it. And they say that during the whole entire trial, he had a pretty much straight face. And that when she said that at that moment, he whispers to, like, his attorney saying, "She didn't hit me." And so you can really, really see the rage.
Yeah.
And this is talked about a lot, you know, like his reaction. So we wanted to, you know, include that.
It's like almost kind of petty for him to say that, like, "Ha, he didn't hit me."
Yeah,
like, "Sir, you attacked her." Like, I don't know. So after these horrible incidents, the Chelsea Keen Law came to be, and basically what this law does is that it strengthens punishments for sex offenders who commit crimes against children, which, again, like I mentioned earlier, I feel like that is needed in our system, and not even just for children, but just in general.
Yeah, you know? And another thing, they created a run for her, because, you know, she was a cross-country runner. It's called Finish Chelsea's Run 5K, and the proceeds for this goes to a scholarship for college-bound teens.
And Carrie, which is Amber's mom, also has a group assembled called Team Amber Rescue, and they basically help families that are looking for their missing loved ones. And we thought it was also super cool because this team actually was the team that found Michelle Lee's body. And I don't know if y'all remember, but she was, we talked about her case on our third episode. So it's a little throwback, but she was a nursing student here in the Bay Area in Hayward who also went missing. And so I think it's just like mind blowing how, you know, here we are reading about how Carrie was the one who brought peace to Michelle Lee's family.
Yeah. It's so nice, but it's also so sad to see that these families are brought together, or like they get to meet each other because of tragic events.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure.
But it is really nice to see
the communities come together and help each other and, you know, kind of be there for each other.
So thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. We will see y'all next week.
And shout out to the person who requested. And again, if you have any requests, make sure to send them on over our way, either through Twitter or Instagram.
Thank you.
Bye.
What's up, guys? This is the Unnoticed Podcast
with your host, George,
and your host, Ricardo, where we get straight into pop culture, true crime, conspiracies, and scary stories,
making you feel like you're right in the room with your homies.
And you can find the Unnoticed Podcast on all platforms.
And with that being said,
welcome back to the spot. Don't make it hot.
We love you,
even if you love us or not. Clown Boys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.